Hello and welcome to Mastermind. In the chair is Sean Wallace, Mastermind champion in 2004, back today with his specialist subject. Sean Wallace, your chosen subject is...
the Dewey Decimal Library System.
2 minutes on the Dewey Decimal System, starting now. What is the Dewey Decimal System?
It's a system that organises the books in a library.
Correct. Who invented it?
It was invented by the American librarian Melville Dewey in 1876.
Correct. How does the Dewey Decimal System work?
It divides all knowledge into 10 categories. That's why it's a decimal. And it gives every book a number, depending upon what category they're in. But there are subsections too, an infinite amount. And in each of these subsections, there is a... Well, I don't really know.
Mr. Wallace, where are you going? Where are you going?
To the library, of course.
027.049, General Libraries.
I'm Sean Wallace, and when I was preparing for Mastermind, I spent a lot of time in libraries like these. Ever since I was a young boy, I've been fascinated by learning, and it was the sense of a library which fueled my ambition to actually try and learn and be educated. What I love about the library, it's the way in which it's ordered and regulated. I'm at the nearest shelf to me, and there's a range of books we've got here. We've got A History of British Trade Unionism, Karl Marx and Frederick Engels, the collected works... A Very British Strike, 1926. So this must be the economic section. You know, I like the way in which it's catalogued and ordered. Over here we have the religious section. We have Hinduism, The Glory of Krishna, The White Goddess by Robert Graves, The Golden Bough by Sir James Fraser, The Philosophies of Judaism, The Mosques of London. Behind these bookshelves, there's a logic, and there's one laid down by a man called Melville Dewey in 1876. I'm here to find out how it works, and if you want to know anything about a library, you ask a librarian.
So what are you reading? The number one detective agency, but I'm reading about the
detective. I'm Joy Sindagiri, Customer Service Officer at Wilsdon Green Library.
I'm Bernie McManaman, the Reader Development and Marketing Manager for Brent Libraries.
And I'm Sarah Smith. I'm the manager for Children and Young People Services with Brent Libraries.
And I'm Orson Nylinder, a librarian at Wilsdon Green Library.
Okay, can you explain how the Dewey Decimal System works?
Well, it consists of numbers, and each number reflects a subject. And you've got some main categories like 500 science, 800 literature.
Why is the system so important?
Well, it's important so that we will be able to find the books that we need. I mean, it's no use having books all over the place, especially non-fiction. So if they're in a particular kind of order, we'll be able to find them easily.
Well, ladies, I've got a pile of books here. I'm going to test your knowledge of the Dewey Decimal System. So I'm going to select the first one at random, 75911.
That's odd. Would that be?
It would be odd. It would be more fascinating if you can actually tell me the actual book itself.
No.
Is it about the painter?
It is. It's Jack Vetriano.
Very popular, his arms.
94027.
That would be history. That would be history. History itself starts at roughly about 930. 930 is about ancient history, and then you kind of start creeping up as such. So 940 generally tends to be about British history or European history, probably European history, so it's Britain is involved in that history, so it could be about a war.
And all the more remarkable, 1812, Napoleon's Fatal March on Moscow by Adam Zamowski. 388.322.
It's a transport, yeah.
Right, well, the 3/8 are transport, and again, within that, it will break down into other buses or trains or trams, all different forms of transport. I couldn't say for sure which this one is, but it's definitely a form of transport.
Well, this is the History of British Bus Services by John Hibbs. Now, this book is 291.03.
That would be religion. outside of Christian religion usually starts at about 290. So, for instance, after that, you'll get Sikhism, you'll get Islam, you'll get Hinduism, etc. So I know if I get a class number of 290, I know it's going to be religious. But I know straight away that it won't be Islam, it won't be Judaism, it won't be Sikhism. So it's probably going to be in the area of possibly looking at other religions under a kind of generalist area.
I agree with Sarah. I actually thought it might be Christianity.
This is a book called The Dictionary of Religious Quotations by Margaret Pepper. If I want to learn about Melville Dewey, where would I go and find him?
Oh, well, you want biographies. 920.
920.42. Biography.
Roosevelt? No. Churchill? No. Margaret Thatcher? No. Melville Dewey. Irrepressible Reformer. A biography of Melville Dewey by Wayne A. Wiegand.
I like to refer to Melville Dewey as a bit tightly wrapped. He was very concerned with efficiency, very concerned with using all of the time made available to him as wisely as he could. And so he was consistently looking for systems and appliances to reduce the amount of time it took him to accomplish his work, and he thought other people would learn from his example.
So he was pretty obsessed with efficiency then?
He indeed was, and he had extra pockets sewn on the inside of his suit coats, and each of those pockets was reserved for notes for a particular thing that he had to be doing that day. He actually had 120 pigeonholes arranged at the top of his desk, and when people would come in, they knew they could come in because his door was open, although he was working at his desk, but their instructions were to go to the pigeonhole that Dewey had assigned to them and grab whatever notes he had there. The top note was the highest priority for them to tackle, and if that top note had something in red ink as opposed to blue ink, they knew that they had to go to that. And then they would leave his office without ever saying, "Good morning, Mr. Dewey," without him ever raising his eyes from his desk work and saying, "Good morning, Ms. Schmidt," or anything like that.
Why do you think he was so obsessed with that kind of stuff?
Well, a lot of that would be speculation, but what I trace it back to is some childhood experiences. He helped his father as a young man bury soldiers in a cemetery. Bodies were transported back from the American Civil War. And in his diaries, very clearly shows that he became concerned about how long he had to live on this earth. Then another incident happened when he was in early college, where his dormitory and the administration building burned down, and he actually helped pull books from the fire. But he inhaled a great deal of smoke, and a doctor predicted he only had a year or two to live. For me, that makes more understandable why he was so keen on devising systems that would save time.
100, philosophy. 200, theology. 300, sociology.
At the time, he was a part-time worker in the Amherst College Library. He was actually a junior in college at that time. And shortly after he graduated, the Amherst College administration hired him to direct the library and to revise the classification scheme they had. Dewey convinced them that his decimal scheme was the best for it.
700, fine arts. 800, literature. 900, history. Eureka.
All of this occurred at a particular moment in history which made the public library movement viable and, in fact, accelerated it. Shortly thereafter, Andrew Carnegie began giving away his fortunes to local communities who simply requested the money to construct buildings. Those buildings went up over the course of a couple of decades, and those buildings required staff. Those staff generally were recruited out of Dewey's school. So it was that moment in history when you married Dewey's library science to Carnegie's philanthropy that gave the Dewey Decimal Classification a significant advantage over all the others.
What does his original classification reveal to us about his world and what he thought was important to him?
Dewey Decimal Classification Scheme in its first edition, certainly, sort of identified the Anglo-Saxon world in which Dewey found himself in 1870, 1875, and reflected the Anglo-Saxon heritage that was being taught to Amherst College students during that time period.
220, Bible, 221, Old Testament, 222, Historical Books of Old Testament, 230, Christian Theology, 231, God.
He never really questioned that the Bible was the Word of God and all truths could be found therein. And if you look at the classification scheme, you can see the privileged status that Christianity, and particularly Protestant Christianity, gets. I always refer to that as present at the creation, that the classification scheme reflected those values, cemented or sedimented, I think it would be better to say, sedimented into existence a priority system that has both been of advantage and disadvantage to subsequent additions of the decimal classification scheme.
What interests me is that a set of categories that seem right in the 1870s are still used today. The world is a different place now. The whole of the 20th century stands between me and Melville Dewey. How did his system stay relevant as wars were fought, computers were invented, and men landed on the moon? It seems that someone's been updating the system. And to learn much more about that, I'll need to leave Wilson Library and go to a much, much bigger one. I'm surrounded by a mass of conveyor belts, slides, hatches, and trapdoors. It's whisking books up from the underground vaults to the reading rooms of the British Library. It's like a great big Heath Robinson book machine, and I'm so deep underground that I can hear the Victoria Line rumbling past. I'm here to meet Caroline Kent, who works at the British Library. But first, we better go somewhere quieter.
The majority of our material is classified using Dewey, even though on the shelves, in the basements, most of it isn't. Arranged by Dewey, most of it is classified by Dewey. So at the moment we're in the Science and Technology reading room, and of course Science and Technology is a Dewey category in its own right.
Was the library designed with the Dewey Decimal System in mind?
Not originally. The Dewey Decimal System is designed based on traditional academic divisions, so at the time that Melville was developing the system, he looked at academic libraries in the US as it was at that time, but of course it would have been similar in the UK, and based his divisions on those that he was familiar with from his own university life. So the 10 divisions are what he considered to be the 10 main academic areas. And because the British Library has grown from a variety of organisations, such as the British Museum, accidentally, all of those different collection areas which grew up around traditional academic specialities have turned into reading rooms. So they are Dewey categories.
OK, we better stop disturbing the science readers now. Caroline, you're a member of the Dewey Editorial Policy Committee, which is responsible for updating the Dewey Decimal System. What's your role on the committee?
Well, the committee's role is to support revisions that are put forward by the editors for new numbers, developed numbers, to cover knowledge bases that are new, and to cover expanding areas that may traditionally not have had very many books written about them, but increasingly are becoming more popular, so more works are written, and the schedules need to expand to accommodate that. We do most of our discussion online, but because there are some quite knotty issues, little bits of detail that cataloguers love, we do have to meet occasionally face-to-face, and we have one meeting annually at the Library of Congress in the US where we all get together.
How often is the system updated?
Continually. It's changing all the time. So although there have been 22 published editions, in between editions there are also updates and changes.
How far has it grown? How big has it grown?
Well, interestingly, it's grown considerably, but the 10 original categories that Melville Dewey devised are in fact almost unchanged. It's the level of detail within those classes that's changed dramatically over the years. And since you can go down as many levels as you like in terms of the numbers then beyond that, it's almost true to say the amount of numbers you could have is infinite.
Therefore, in your view, will the system keep growing?
Yes. I still firmly believe that whilst there is a lot of crossover between disciplines. Most of us still think along those broad lines that Melville Dewey did. I think it's fair to say we think around things in terms of religion or humanities or science or arts. And so those broad groupings still hold true.
Do you think the system itself will stand the test of time in the future?
Well,
say 1,000 years from now?
Oh, 1,000 years from now. Good grief, what a question. I would like to think so, although I'm not sure we'll be here 1,000 years from now.
Quantum theory. World
it's pretty impressive genetics, that Melville Dewey invented 10 categories prescient enough to have the whole of 20th century knowledge poured into them without breaking.
The Twin Towers, the Great March, Joseph Stalin.
It seems he got something fundamentally right.
Lonely Hearts Club Band, the Charleston, the Great Depression, Abdul Gamal.
I like a library because the order and placement of the books helps me to order and place the information in my brain. There seems to be a natural fit, and perhaps that's a secret of the Dewey Decimal System. That it arranges a library in imitation of the way we think. In short, is a library like a brain?
571.32, neuroscience.
The Watch on the Heath by Keith Thompson. Science, history, no. Here we are. Mapping the Mind by Rita Carter. Rita, is the library like a brain?
It seems from the outside as though it probably is. If you were designing a brain, you'd probably design it that way, because it makes sense. But the brain has evolved in rather a different way. The Dewey system, as I understand it, is logically and hierarchically organised so that you can go in sequence from one classification to another. The brain is more like a network. It's a network of associations. It's much more chaotic. There are many more lateral associations. So whereas the Dewey system would look like a nice ordered tree in a child's drawing book, where you can follow it to the sort of, you know, last leaf on the last tip of the last twig or something, the brain would look like a heap of spaghetti, I suppose.
516, geometry, 520, valletta, magpies, mallards, mallet sciences, 521, celestial mechanics.
What would a library look like if it was organised like a brain?
Chaos. Everybody's brain would be a different library, really. You might get extraordinary books next to one another, because as well as having a sort of overall template, a network template to work on, the memory system is unique to every individual as well, because every individual's experience is unique. And we remember things according to how we experience them. So if your first or early or most impressive experience of an object, a Weetabix, was in a particular context, say you were on holiday in the country and it happened to coincide with some birds singing outside the kitchen window, something like that, the association of those birds, the bird song, will be associated, oddly enough, with Weetabix in your head. So the result of that will be that if you looked in your brain as though it was a library, you might find that Weetabix will be next to birdsong, sparrows on the shelf, which of course you'd never get in a library.
When I'm remembering information, for example the 1970 FA Cup final when Chelsea beat Leeds, I delve into my memory to remember facts like who crossed the ball. And the 1970 FA Cup final information will be stored next to the 1971 FA Cup final and the 1972 Cup final information. So isn't the process of recalling information similar to that of retrieving a book from the library shelf?
I think it does feel like it when we're retrieving information. But what you are doing when you follow cues to retrieve a particular item of information in your brain is that you are following a very meandering route of associations. You are indeed tracing a route, that is true. But it doesn't have this neat step-by-step logic that Dewey does. You are jumping from, one perhaps quite accidental association to another because they happen to be formed that way in your brain. And it will be a different route for everybody.
On that basis, would you say the internet is a better analogy for the brain as opposed to the Dewey Decimal System?
Yes, I think it is much better. If I understand the internet correctly, it's very similar in that sites are connected and interconnected and furthermore become connected through associations, which are often quite contingent. They're not necessarily logical associations. And so one has a very similar, I think, sort of network building up on the internet. I don't know if it'll ever be as complicated as a single human brain, but it must be getting there.
It seems that I've got it wrong. The Dewey Decimal System isn't anything like my brain. As Rita Carter suggests, the human brain is more like the internet, and that's an opinion shared by the writer Michelle Roberts. She likes the internet exactly because it's messy and counterintuitive. As an ex-librarian, she has a long and troubled history with the Dewey system.
The Dewey Decimal System seemed to me a model of amazing inflexibility and rigidity. I saw it as a pyramid with layers of topics arranged in hierarchical form. And it reminded me of Christian views of the universe, which of course was no accident, because I think late 19th century America, when the Dewey system began to be made, there was still a pretty strong Christian culture, even though there was this fantastic interest in science. And so Dewey, to me, if I drew it, would be a pyramid with God the Father at the top, pointing with his forefinger at categories of his creation, which exist in a hierarchical relationship to each other.
Caps, bluebirds, blue jays, blue throats, bobolinks.
If you look under number 7, part of 7 is a subcategory called lunatics, women and gypsies. I found it astonishing that women could be slotted into such a fixed place with the problems in our culture, who include the lunatics and the gypsies. So there's an invisible male brain here. There's an invisible male intelligence making distinctions, making value judgments, making differences between things.
Customs of life cycle and domestic life. 393. Death customs. Death. Death by hanging. Death by drowning.
For my exams at the end of my library school training, I designed a new classification system, and it was based on the idea that you could classify things by linking anything in the world to anything else, which is, of course, very much how computers think, that you can just connect anything. The internet is a beautiful model, I think, of this kind of thinking I'm talking about. Maybe it's a kind of labyrinth.
Etiquette.
I think the notion of cross-referencing for me is about fluidity, and it's about linking, and it's about categories being able to dissolve and reform. And it's perhaps about trusting the human desire to know, which involves the human desire to make things, which involves the human desire to connect things. And I think my ideal library classification system would be that playful. It would allow me, as I'm the searcher, to be also the maker, the creator, the linker.
The internet seems to be everything that the Dewey system isn't. It's instant, it's endlessly flexible, and it's accessible 24/7. Just as Dewey's 10 categories reflected his society, so internet reflects our complicated, insatiable, globalised world. So, is it time to leave old Melville on the shelf and enter the world of hip young things with strange names like Google, Yahoo and AltaVista? In short, does the rise of the internet mean the end of Dewey? I'm not much of an expert on the internet, but there is a computer in the library. Let's have a bang on the old keys and find out if anyone is. Professor Mike Jackson of the University of Central England.
Dewey had a very fixed view of the world. He divided things into categories which he thought were of equal importance. Try and put things in equal-sized boxes, and those equal-sized boxes don't come out on the internet at all. I mean, the truth is that a lot of the material on the internet is still pornography, and that would be a big category which you'd need to subdivide, but of course Dewey didn't do that at all.
What is the major difference between the Dewey Decimal System and the internet keyword search? Because they're completely different forms of classification.
The keyword approach, which is the way the web deals with finding things, is much more hit and miss. People who have used one will be familiar about the fact that they go to a web page, and on the web page there is a box in which you type keywords. The search engine then uses an index to find web pages which contain that particular word. You get no guarantee from the internet about what the page will be about. Just because they contain a particular word does not necessarily mean they're about the topic that you wanted to research on.
But isn't that one of the difficulties so far as the internet is concerned? Those keywords can have so many different meanings. If we were to take a classic example, your name, Michael Jackson. Now, if I wanted to find a biography on yourself, a whole host of names would presumably come up. Most prominently would be the famous US pop star.
Absolutely. Not only the famous pop star, but also the famous general who's just written a book. All of these will tend to come before my name. It's changed over the years. In the early days of the web, when effectively it was a computer scientist toy, if you typed my name in, you'd find me about fourth on the list, which I used to be quite proud of.
In a library, I trust the library because I know the information is categorised in a particular section and I know it's there. Can I really trust the internet?
The answer to that really is no, you can't, because you cannot establish the authority of any page that you retrieve from the internet. Google uses a special way of ranking the pages. It's what's known as the page rank algorithm. Essentially, a page appears towards the top of a list if lots of other pages reference that particular page. And there's a sort of authority given to those pages by the fact that other pages have thought them worthwhile referencing. And that's really the only authority you can have on the internet.
Is there room for the Dewey Decimal System in the 21st century?
Well, I'd sort of like to think so, because I've spent a number of years looking at fitting the Dewey Decimal System to the web. At the moment, on the web, we have effectively a chaotic situation where we can find things if we're lucky. We haven't any classification at all, so that any classification system one chose to apply would be an improvement from what we have at the moment.
The future, where do you see the Dewey Decimal System in, say, 1,000 years?
I don't know whether we will have actually Dewey Decimal 1,000 years from now, but I think we will look at what it gave us, which is the ability to organise knowledge and to find the things that we want to find in a vast collection of literature. I think we shall see that incorporated into the web, and that our use of the web will be much more productive as we go into the future.
What's become clear to me is that every classification system presents a view of the world. They try to be objective, but they can't be. Melville Dewey's perception of the world was clearly reflected in the 10 original categories of his system, categories he hoped would contain the knowledge of his time and of generations to come. Critics of the Dewey say it's too rigid, that it forces the 21st century to look at the world through 19th century eyes. Things are more complicated now, and the Dewey system lacks flexibility. It lacks poetry. It's too ordered. It's too neat. But for me, that's the appeal of the Dewey system. It lays the world before me and helps me to understand it. Even today, in the age of the internet and 24/7 news, if I really want to know about something, I'll leave my house, go to the warm and friendly environment of my local library, and with the assistance of Melville Dewey, I'll find out all that I need to know and more.
A Dewey Decimal was presented by Sean Wallace and produced by James Cook. The reader was Kerry Schell.